I'm Steve Potter, and welcome to Cityscape. Later in the program, we're going to talk to mystery writer Elaine Veitz about her latest book, Catnapped, that centers on the colorful world of cat shows. Bobby Norfolk will report on the St. Louis Storytelling Festival, which wraps up tomorrow evening with a grand finale at the Two Hill. And Robin Rath of Pixel Press Technologies is going to explain a new app that he developed that allows you to create your own video game. We begin with this weekend's Fine Print, Rare Book, and Paper Arts Fair, hosted by UMSL's Mercantile Library. Julie Dunn-Morton is the curator of Mercantile's Fine Arts Collection. Susan Teller operates the Susan Teller Gallery in New York. And Eric Woods is the founder of St. Louis's Firecracker Press. Hi to you all, and welcome to the program.
Hi.
Thank you.
Julie Dunn-Morton, this is an annual event that draws vendors from near and far, like Eric and Susan here. So what's so special about this Fine Print and Rare Book Fair?
Well, it is rather unique in its combination of materials. Really, anything related to paper is very welcome here. So it's the combination of rare books, historical ephemera, contemporary and historical prints, practicing artists, dealers dealing with historical artists. It's just a wonderful variety of materials all in one location.
And how is this different than any other thing, any other fair that might be held around here? This is special. How? Is it because you'll find things here that you won't find other places?
That's part of it. And I think also, just as I said, the combination of materials.
Susan, your gallery is located in New York's Soho neighborhood. What's your focus there?
We feature American work from the mid part of the 20th century, from the 30s to the 50s. We've just sort of discovered the 50s. It's the future for us.
Is there a reason for that?
Well, the reason for everything really is the crash in 29. Up until 1929, artists could have careers, particularly if they were middle-class artists, and work could leave the studio. With the advent of the crash, whether you were a working-class artist or a middle-class artist, work stayed in the studio. And frankly, we're the beneficiaries of that because we're still able to find wonderful work from the 30s and 40s, which, had there been a real market, would not be available today.
Oh, that's interesting. Eric, for those that may not be familiar with Firecracker Press.
Yeah, we've got two locations here in town, one on Cherokee Street, and a new location for us on 14th, North 14th, in Old North. We're a letterpress print shop, and we make posters, books, business cards, stationery, all kinds of things.
And when you say letterpress, that's like the old-fashioned.
It's very old-fashioned, though we use contemporary design aesthetics and thinking to develop new products using old techniques.
You know, a lot of people might be familiar with your work and not realize that whenever I see a poster for a concert or event that you've done, I always know that it's yours.
Oh, sure.
You have a signature look.
Yeah, thank you. That comes a little bit with our sort of design aesthetic, but also part of the process of using these old tools. We print from old lead type, wood type, hand-carved wood blocks, all kinds of things that we do using old letterpress methods for contemporary purposes.
Mm-hmm. Well, Julie, what about some of the other vendors that are going to be here? I mentioned that they come from near and far, so maybe you could talk a little bit about that.
Certainly. We have a couple of local watercolorists who will be participating, David Anderson and Barbara Martin Smith. We have G.W. Einstein, a contemporary print dealer from New York, the Old Print Shop out of New York, and the Philadelphia Print Shop, both dealing in historical prints. We have Murray Hudson, who's bringing maps and globes this year. As well as some of our local friends, Codner Gallery and McCowan and Burr will be there, and several book dealers as well.
So is this an event just to sell things? Is that the point of it?
Not really. It's actually part of our educational programming at the Mercantile Library, because although St. Louis is very fortunate to have many different museums and galleries, the dealers who come and the artists who come bring some unique materials and artists that maybe aren't represented in other collections around town. So people have the opportunity to meet and talk with artists like Eric to learn about the procedures that he's using, learn about letterpress. Maybe that's a phrase they've never even heard before. They can talk to an artist who's producing their own work. They can talk to dealers and book collectors and get answers to their questions, or maybe even find something that they love and learn to collect on their own.
Here's a question for whomever would like to respond. So is this an event that attracts wealthy collectors only?
Oh, absolutely not. I can answer that unequivocally. We have many of the college students who come out because we have, say, for example, you're interested in postcards. We have dealers in ephemera who have historical postcards. could go as low as $2, $5. We have Audubon prints that are there for the, you know, wealthier collectors. But it's a lot of fun just to look, and the dealers are all very friendly and very open to answering questions.
Susan, talk about some of the things you've brought with you from New York.
Well, we feature, as I said, people from the mid-20th century, primarily American. And we do have a number of artists who worked in Missouri. So we make a real effort to bring work by Fred Shane or Dorothy Browdy Kushner. But I'd also like to add to what Julie said, that the one of the real pluses of this fair is that Julie and John Hoover are in the room. So collectors can not only speak to us and ask me about Fred Shane, but they can go to Julie and ask her opinion about a piece they might be interested in. And it's such a huge, huge plus to have the curators in the room at the time.
Mm-hmm. Eric, and what are you bringing? And I want to clear up a misconception I had, maybe other people too. I just assumed that everything we were talking about was dated and not current.
Sure.
But that's not the case for you.
Absolutely not. We're bringing contemporary gig posters, music posters, posters for art events and other type of events around St. Louis and afar. Everything we're bringing is new. We're probably the oddest fit in the room, but it's a great opportunity to come and see a great, a fantastic grouping of things that go together in an odd way, I guess. Old mm-hmm. books, fantastic new prints, old prints, all kinds of stuff.
Well, you mentioned postcards that might go for a couple of bucks. What about down on the other end? What are some of the high-end items?
High-end items, I think, would probably be, the really well-known artists, Joe Jones,
what might something like that sell for, maybe?
Well, it's going to depend on whether you're looking at a painting or a print, if there were multiples of the prints made.
Dale Nichols and John Stewart Curry are probably at the top end.
Mm-hmm. Grant Wood. We do have some Grant Woods.
And Benton. We're bringing some work by artists such as William Baziotis, who's part of the American Abstract Artist Group, or Anne Ryan. And there's the advantage, I think, of this material is that it's really supply and demand. So the scarcer, more desirable pieces will go for more, and at the other end, there'll be huge bargains.
I was trying to pry a dollar amount out of you. I'm just curious. are you hesitant to say that?
Let me just say I have seen at fairs things as high as $200,000.
Wow.
That I've personally seen.
From $2 to $200,000.
So however many zeros you want to have, you'll probably find it.
My budget's in between those two numbers.
Most of us are.
Susan and Eric, have you had a chance to see what other vendors have brought and anything that's impressed you or that you've noticed?
Absolutely. We try to take a moment during the weekend to shop around a little bit, and I'm always surprised by the things that I don't expect to see. We're coming with rock posters, for example.
But with
rock posters, music posters,
right.
Things for contemporary bands, maybe stuff that you've never heard of. They're so fresh and new. But at the same time, the vendor right next to us might have an old book or something. And there's a really great educational opportunity there, too. Just talking to the vendors, talking to the people in the room, and finding out more about what this kind of fair offers. It's really fantastic.
What have you seen, Susan?
Well, the old print shop has always brought wonderful, wonderful range of material. And this year, they've outdone themselves, I think. Anne McDougall, who I think is a first-time exhibitor.
She is.
She's also concentrating in mid-20th century, so I know she's got work by American modernists and her own publishing efforts, which are brand new.
Mm-hmm. Eric, you're going to be doing demonstrations, actually.
Yeah, absolutely. On Sunday, we'll be bringing a small press.
Yeah, you've mentioned your press a couple times. People might not quite understand how neat that is. Explain what this old press is. Paint a visual picture for us.
Well, the ones we've got in the shop are 2,000 to 3,000 pounds, and they're hunks of cast iron and old-world engineering, really. They're a feat to watch. The ones we'll be bringing to the fair are not necessarily that heavy. They might be around 150 pounds, 200 pounds at most, but they still have the same engineering. You pull a lever, you watch a thing go, you put a piece of paper in. There'll be ink there. You'll be able to smell it. You'll be able to see it and right up close and personal.
Mm-hmm. Susan, you were talking about WPA artists.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really interested in that. Can you talk a little bit more about
that? Well, for us, it's a very important aspect of the gallery. We show modernism, but we also have a foot in an urban and industrial era.
Maybe and you should explain what the WPA
was. The WPA stands for Works Progress Administration, and this is part of a New Deal project started by President Roosevelt, and it allowed people who had no income at all to work as artists, to be paid by the government to be an artist. And it was an extraordinary situation. And as far as I'm concerned, we're still benefiting from this effort.
Are artworks, EPA artworks, worth more simply because – is the artwork worth more simply because it's affiliated with the EPA?
The WPA.
WPA,
I think some people think so, and every once in a while somebody will ask that it be something that was published by the WPA. Personally, I think it's enough that the artist was working in that era, that they were part of that effort. I don't really make a distinction price-wise. It's, for me, it's really the availability.
And the EPA, just a note, the EPA did more than art. WPA, I'm sorry. I keep getting everything mixed up here. The WPA did more than art. There were construction projects.
Yes.
And there's a sidewalk in my neighborhood that stands.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Yes. Yeah.
Interesting point, too. The Firecracker Press is actually doing posters with the Missouri Department of Conservation right now that are a nod back to some of those old WPA posters. So we're making contemporary stuff that we'll be bringing with us for the print fair.
Oh,
that also sort of bridges that time gap between old WPA and new stuff for the Department mm-hmm. of Conservation.
So I'm assuming you have everyone that comes to this, everyone from the seasoned collector to maybe people that are wanting to begin their very buy a piece to start a collection.
Absolutely. And that's one of the things we really enjoy is that we have such a broad range of visitors as well. And just building a little on what Eric was saying, how one booth will bridge to another, we have all of these vintage and rare books. And then we have Paper Bird Studio, who actually demonstrates book binding. And different interesting and artistic bookbinding techniques. So and anything you can do with paper, you'll find there.
Now, this benefits the Mercantile Library. So you want to talk a little bit more about the library itself?
I'd love to. Thanks. This is our major signature event every year, and it is a fundraiser for the library's collections, conservation, and care funds. The library was founded in 1846, and we've been preserving St. Louis art history and culture for all of those years. We're now located on the University of Missouri St. Louis campus, and we have collections in river and rail history, also business records, many newspaper collections, and basically if it's about St. Louis history, you'll find it.
And you want people to know it's open to the public?
Absolutely.
Right. Now, you're beginning – let me go over the facts here. The Fine Print Rare Book and Paper Arts Fair – begins with a preview party this evening at 6 o'clock and will continue tomorrow. Talk about the preview party. Why would it be interesting to attend that?
Well, the preview party is fun because you get a first look at what all the dealers brought. There's a lot of, gosh, that's really great. Will you hold it for me and I'll come back and talk to you tomorrow? Some people do actually shop on Friday night. We also have a silent auction, which is a lot of fun, and just some wonderful refreshments. So this is kind of the fun launch of the event.
Mm-hmm. So 6 to 9 tonight for the preview party, and then tomorrow the hours are 10 to 5?
Yes.
Right?
That's correct.
So, Susan, you attend these. You're based in New York, but you attend these, I guess, all over the country? Similar fairs?
Yes, I do. I'm totally unaware of anything else in the Midwest that comes close to this event. I think this is such a special occasion that, of course, people have to come from all over because there's nothing else like this, you know, in hundreds of miles as far as I can figure out.
Mm-hmm. Eric, have you been involved before this year?
We have. I think this is our fourth year.
Oh, mm-hmm. I'm curious what kind of feedback you get from people. What they're curious about, what they ask you about, what they want to know.
I think people are surprised to see us there often, but it's a great opportunity for us to talk about what we're doing today that has a link to the past. We are an odd fit, I think, for the fair, but I think in some ways the most perfect fit for the fair. So we'll keep doing it as long as people want us to be there.
Mm-hmm. Was this a struggle to keep this going when maybe the economy was a little rougher than it is?
It was a little bit. It's kind of in the museum world, you sort of say, give a program 5 years and see if it goes. And the timing was challenging because of the economy, but we stuck with it, and we've kind of hit our stride, and I think we're doing really well.
Anything you want to say about tickets for tonight or tomorrow? Do people need to do things ahead of time? Or?
They do not need to be purchased in advance. You can get your tickets tonight, Saturday or Sunday, at the desk.
It's a Fine Print, Rare Book, and Paper Arts Fair. This evening and tomorrow, it's going to be held at the JCPenney Building Conference Center on the UMSL campus. It's to benefit the Mercantile Library, And we wish you a great event.
Thank you.
Continued success. We've been talking to Julie Dunn Morton, the curator of the Fine Arts Collection of the Mercantile. Susan Teller owns the Susan Teller Gallery in New York. And Eric Woods is the founder and owner of the Firecracker Press here in St. Louis. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Coming up next on Cityscape, how you can design your own video game. This is St. Louis Public Radio.